AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school. Like, yeah. Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bang.
It is what it is, man.
BJ Scream.
You don't be on nothing I be on.
Baby Jade.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this then.
Bring you big facts.
Back ethnic right now.
Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
Live from the Culture Lab, it's time for Big Facts. Big Bang, Baby Jade, DJ Scream. Today we have a podcaster, motivational speaker, author, and so much more. Shay, a.k.a. Free, a.k.a. Dr. Angela C. Yeah. Wright is in the building. Did I get it all right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you got a lot of aliases.
Put that blunt in your other hand. Let's just start there.
You can tell she ran the dome.
How you
she
doing?
She just told her we can cuss. Hold up, first of all.
We can't curse, we can't smoke.
Big Fat has rules now. We can't cuss. I got smoke in my pocket.
This is free facts today.
Free facts.
We're breaking free today. We're breaking all the way free today.
What's up with you? Welcome.
Thank y'all for having me.
Excited about this conversation we're going to have today, which is going to touch on whatever we feel is on our heart. What's on your heart today? How you feeling? What's your mood like?
My mood is grateful. In a grateful mood. Just thankful. Everything and just continue to believe. That's my mood. Always just trying to wake up in a positive mindset and just think about endless possibilities. Because everything that they say you can't be when you a felon, just trying to be that example and show like, I'm her. You could do it. If I could do it, you could do it.
Right.
So yeah, that's my mood.
Do you believe in second chances? Like, do you believe in second chances?
Yeah, I am a second chance. I have a
second chance.
For
sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Tell us from the beginning why you're a second chance. Because a lot of people that might not be familiar with your story might not understand why you're so grateful and why you're so appreciative of second chances.
Okay, so even before prison?
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning when Fee was like a little Fee coming up, doing her thing, you know, whatever. And then we can like lead into what caused you to need that second chance.
Okay, I grew up in a two-parent home. Dad was a pastor. Mom was a stay-at-home wife. Like I was really literally raised like the Cosbys. We sat down and ate dinner together every night. Okay. Said a Bible verse before I ate dinner. But it's like as you get older and you getting ready to get off the porch, I've always been attracted to the lights, money, fast right. cars. Right. I've always been attracted to
right.
it. And then just got in the habit of dating dope boys. And from dating dope boys, came to Atlanta.
Stand up practice for a lot of African-American females.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, because it's that excitement.
It's the excitement. And yep. then, too, what I realized, Jay, was when your father's a pastor, all you see is that he's powerful. You see people draw themselves to pastors. So that's how I, like, correlated my men. Mm-hmm. Wanted them powerful. Wanted everybody, the one that everybody was drawn to. And in that, I've also always just been, like, the girl that, if you tell me that's the edge, I got to see. You know, I got to press the...
You're the peeper. Mm-hmm. You got to peep over yep. and look.
I got to see. Yeah. So, you know, came to college and being a city girl coming to Atlanta, people always think Atlanta's slow. You know, from up north, I'm from Jersey. So you would think yeah. the South is slower, but it's really not. And got a hold to that West Side. And next thing you know,
the darn West Side.
And Bankhead and all that. And before you know it, it started off with weed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just showing people where they could get weed from in Bond City with my play brother Carlos. And then that escalated and escalated. Then met the family. And from there, it was head first into the streets.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But to your question about a second chance, not only from prison, but needing a second chance from being, I feel like God gave me more than a second chance. It was, for example, it was one time that I had a rule that I didn't hustle after dark. But this one day, I bent the rule for one of my homeboys. It was around Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. He needed some weed. I wasn't even into weed. And I went to go do it for him. And when I went to go meet my homeboys, went in there, went in the spot. You know what I mean? Everything, the money, you know. As they letting me out the burglar bar doors, some dudes ran in and robbed, like hog-tied them, had us face down. So in my head, I'm thinking, execution style. Like, they're going to end up killing us, but... In that moment, I cried out to God, like, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
And from there, you know, that was a chance. And then it was times two. The house get kicked in. They overlook stuff. That was another chance. And then yeah. being in prison and now being home, I've been afforded another chance. So I don't say a second chance. So I always say another chance.
Mm. How long were you in prison?
I ended up serving 14 years. Originally, I was sentenced to 30 years as a first-time nonviolent offender. Had never been in no trouble. I was a school teacher. I taught at Giddings Elementary. And but because of the amount of drugs, I was charged with 154 kilos of cocaine. And when you don't cooperate and play that game with the government, that's what happens. So they gave me 30 years. And I fought and fought and fought and fought. Never gave up.
Right.
And just kept telling myself, like, I'm going to get out. I'm going to go home. To the point people thought I was crazy. I would sit down and write President Obama every Sunday. Every Sunday I wrote that man because I just felt like I was the poster child for redemption. I'm not typically the person who ends up in prison. I'm educated, and I wanted America to know, like, the drug laws, they're crazy. They'd rather you be a terrorist. Terrorists get less time. They'd rather you murder a rapist, a child molester. They get less time. Not saying that one sin is better than the other, but drug laws was not only tearing up our community, mm-hmm. it was just tearing generations to come that people don't even realize. So I just fought and fought. And then when Trump got into office, he was able to pass what's called the First Step Act.
It started in the
Obama administration. Mm-hmm. Obama started it, but it was Trump who was able to get it passed through the House and the Senate. And one of the clauses that changed was compassionate release. And it used to be where you could only compassion is if you sick or your primary caregiver sick. But they changed it and said if something was unusual. And we argued that my sentence was unusual. And so that's how I ended up coming home. Matter of fact, during COVID.
How did you keep from going back to the streets and doing what you know you do best? Like how you keep from doing that?
Thinking about every time somebody telling me when I could go use the bathroom. When I gotta get up, where I'm gonna take a shower.
Rehabilitated you.
No, I rehabilitated me.
Okay.
Yeah, rehabilitated me. And then not only that, man, the streets are not the same. You think I take a penitentiary chance with these dudes that's out here today? Yeah. I went there. You couldn't get me to even introduce you to nobody to get nothing because there's no loyalty. There's people don't have morals anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Before there did used to be some sense of a code.
Yeah.
There's no code no more. Yeah. So why would I risk? And I feel like, too, I still had that same hustle in me. It's just the product has to change.
Nah, that's some real shit. Because back in the day, it was rare that a nigga told. But now it's rare that a nigga keep it solid.
Man, let me tell you something. I am that chick. Now, I hate this saying. I hate this saying, how they say stand on business. But when you look at me, I'm the epitome of that.
Oh, you the business.
But yeah, because it ain't too many. I put my hand on this. It ain't too many dudes that could even walk in my shoes. You get what I'm saying? And then when them people come, when the feds come, it's like people just lose all self-control. You forget that how bad you was when you was getting money. You get what I'm saying? And all that goes out the window. You don't think about it, and all you think about is saving yourself. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, even when the people got me, I remember, and during court, the feds said that one guy that testified against me, before they could even put him in a car, he said, what can I do to help myself?
Damn.
You think I'm going to risk that? I'm not risking that no more. I'm not risking that no more. I gave up too much time. I left. My son was 10. He was 25 when I came home. I'm just not doing it. And there's other ways to get money. Yeah.
So you told me off camera, like, your dude told on you, right?
Yeah, you knew that.
That's what I said. You told me. He
was one of them that testified against me. But it was actually, like, so-called friends. It was dudes who did not even know me. Like, this guy named Enos Jones. Right? You get up there and you tell them people that you got 4 kilos for me. You can't even afford 4 kilos. You get what I'm saying? But that's how the feds are. When they want to build a case against you, they don't care if Scream don't know you. They don't care if Jay don't know you. Mm-hmm. They just going to say, show a picture of you. They see you. And they going to basically tell you what to say. And you get up there and you get time off. Yeah, so my boyfriend wasn't the only one that told on me. He was one of the ones, but it was a lot of dudes. It ended up being 10 dudes and 2 girls.
So did you forgive them or what?
Yeah, I forgave.
How did you do that?
It took some time. It took some time. During prison, I really worked on myself. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Because I haven't always, I'm not going to say that I've never been a grimy chick, right? No dude could coerce me. You know how dudes try to get girls to set dudes up and stuff like that. I'm not that chick. Mm-hmm. I'm not the one. I'm not doing none of that. So I never been grimy, but I did have certain ways to me, you know, and it kind of came along with the territory. But I realized that in order for me to even move forward in life, I had to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And it took about 8 years into my bid. And I knew I had truly forgave them when his name could be mentioned, and it didn't bother me. My nose didn't start sweating, or I ain't get heat or anything like that. I don't care. I wish him well.
You try to reach out to you when you get out?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, initially, when I first got out, maybe this just happened maybe 6 months ago. He, one of my homeboys, FaceTimed me and was like, "Ann, somebody want to talk to you." And he put him on the phone, and I went crazy. Now, y'all know I don't curse. But that day, baby, I laid down some curse words. Man, what didn't I say? Yeah, what did? Because I just couldn't believe he had the audacity saying he had some money for me. And even though I needed the money, your money not good enough for me. I don't want your money.
You forgave him, but you just don't mess with him.
You don't have to.
That's what you
can forgive people, but that don't mean I have to be in your presence.
I agree.
Yeah. And I don't want your dirty, tainted money. You can't buy me. You can't buy back them 14 years that I lost. Nah, keep your money. I'm cool.
Right.
I probably would have got that money.
That's what my cousin said.
Reparations.
Bring that money.
Yeah, that's what my cousin said, too. He like, "Ann, you crazy. You can take that money." I'm like, "Man, it's going to come. One thing about it, I'm a money magnet. It's going to come."
You feel like that shit would have janked your whole play.
Man.
Taking that money.
Yeah, That's me saying I have not learned that.
It would have been like you would have went and unstood on the business.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That means I sold my soul once again for $1.
Yeah.
Mm. No, I'm cool. Yeah. I'm cool. I'd rather struggle, get it out the mud, however I'm going to get it, than to take a handout from somebody
who feel better.
Man, when I tell you I could look myself in the mirror, I don't have no qualms about it. My face is clean, bank.
Yeah.
I don't owe nobody nothing. I never did nobody wrong. I ain't rat nobody out. None of that. So when I look at me, I'm cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I might not be to the level where I used to be or get the type of money that I used to get. But hey, that day gonna come.
And it feel better though, because you're at peace, right?
Way better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. So during those 14 years from a psychological standpoint, being knowing that you were being away from your family, knowing the way that you were being away from your son, knowing that this nigga that you were supposed to love and that was supposed to love you is one of the main people that did you in, how did you or what did you do to help yourself start getting adjusted to life on the inside and start being able to help you make it through that bid without thinking about what was going on in the free world?
It was hard. In the beginning, it was hard. So let me go back and tell you this about karma, right? So when I started messing with the dude was married. Mm-hmm. And he ended up divorcing his wife for me. Right? So my dude, I was cheating on my dude.
You should have knew he would have told right then.
I should have known that?
Yeah.
Why? Because he was cheating?
Nah, not because he cheated, because he's... my bad for cutting you out. Why did he leave him? Just because for you? I'm just saying, not just like you just some bullshit, but I'm saying just he left her just for another woman.
Not just another woman.
I'm saying, okay, a special one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm saying, but he was married, right? Mm-hmm. If he can allow, that's just showing he ain't got no loyalty right now.
No.
Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's no reason. Now, if this woman did something wrong to you, if she just wasn't that woman, that's different.
Bank, you know how I go when it get good to you. Stop but playing like you don't know
but
how it go.
But I ain't finna leave my wife for no bitch.
No what?
No woman.
Where's the jar?
Bank up 5-0.
How much we paying?
$5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got plenty of fives.
You popping a hole. But I mean, I get what you're saying. You felt like, you know, there wasn't no loyalty, but I don't know. He left her. It got good to her. And for no reason, because my dude was in prison. So I cheated.
So you had
on
a
dude
too?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But your dude was actually like away from the street. Okay, let me ask you a question. Inside of this question, mm-hmm. not trying to get off subject, but we just had a conversation about this, right? Mm-hmm. So we were talking about staying down with a nigga while he's locked up and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I felt like, if I'm, okay, let's say you're my nigga. If you're my nigga and I'm with you and we're together or whatever, and I'm still talking to you like we're together, like on the phone and all of that stuff, then I'm not gonna forget around. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna mess around or like do anything that I wouldn't do while you were on the street. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a discussion like, okay, well, after a certain amount of time, this and that, whatever, whatever. But like I said, I don't care how much time it is. If I'm giving you the appearance or if I'm giving you the idea that we're still together, I'm going to stick to my word, because as a woman, I wouldn't want that on me to know that I'm leading you on, like, and you're in
there. What's the question, man?
Like, she's saying, like, do you feel like you're supposed to stay down with somebody?
Yeah, exactly.
I was wrong. I was dead wrong, because he didn't have much time to begin with, right? And okay. He was getting ready to come home.
So what made you do it? What made you, like...
Being greedy, man, down there. Didn't want my face seen down there until I had done... So after, like, dude and them left, I went to Florida, right?
Right.
And, I had got a house and a hair salon, nail salon down there, but I seen that it was, I'm like, oh, this is a wide open city. They paying 24 and I could get them for 17. Oh, yeah. So what I caught myself doing was getting him to be the face.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And it just backfired on me. But let me tell you about
this. What you can get them thing for? No, just for
you. I get Jesus for you now. That's about it. But the guy that I cheated on, he stayed down with me, Jay, the whole 14 years.
Oh, wow. I mean, you lying.
I promise to God, he stayed down the whole 14 years. He did not even get in another relationship to like 7 years into my bid. He did not. He kept like fighting, got the appeal lawyer. You know what I mean? Like, was there for my son, there with my family. Like, just even after I did all that, even if after he had to read the paperwork and see everything, you know what I mean? He still stayed down with me the whole 14 years.
We That's together, strong right there.
You know what I mean? He has a girlfriend. He has a little boy. But we just had that bond. Like, that's my, like,
that's rare. Yeah, that's
super
rare.
Super rare.
That's rare.
So, you know, when you doing Fed time, people have to get approved to get on your list.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of hard when you have a record. He got another ID, got approved in another name, and came to prison to see me.
This nigga trying to be a cellmate, ain't he?
Yeah, we didn't put him on blast, but whoever you are, my nigga, like, I salute you. You a real nigga, bro. Straight up. Like.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, dude was wrong, but I got through it.
Damn.
Yeah. Held me down.
Did that kind of, like, after what you've been through for him to stay down with you like that, did that kind of, like, help restore your faith in humanity?
I don't think I really lost my faith in humanity. I told myself that I wasn't a good judge of people. My discernment wasn't paying attention to my gut feeling. You know what I mean? That discernment, when your spirit tells you something, it needs to lead to your spirit.
But you can't blame yourself for that, though, all the time, because a lot of these niggas got some hell of a tricks.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, in real life, like, to turn that shit on and turn that shit off. To get past the discernment detectors.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
I ain't going for that.
You know.
But you might not.
You're going to overlook something. You're going to overlook something. You know. I'm telling you, before any destruction, warning is right in your face. That's anything.
A
you
warning
know,
came so many
you,
times.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know you just try to ignore it and benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, he ain't mean it like that. Yes, he did.
That's like the one of the other dudes who told on me, this dude named Eric, right?
I'm calling him out, bitch.
Yeah, I'm calling him out. Yeah, I don't care. They know. Yeah, it's public information.
Mark ass
nigga. So, we were sitting at the table one day, and I said to him, I said, what would you do if them people came? And you know what his response was? He's like, you never know till you put in that situation.
He knew.
He knew.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Anytime a nigga say that, he don't want to say, boy, I'm coming home.
Yeah. And, you know, but he told, and he didn't even end up getting that much time. His baby mom ended up dying. Then you got out, and you right back in with a whole nother 30-year bid.
Mm.
That's what happens when you don't do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like more people need to realize, like, just don't get involved at all.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? If you can't handle the consequences that come behind it, then just don't get involved at all. Just stay in your lane. Whatever lane that is, just stay in your lane. Because I'm not saying that it's an easy pill to swallow. It's not easy to stand in front of a judge and he tell you at 30 years old, you got 30 years, you're not coming home to 2033 and it's only 2007. We wasn't even in the double digits yet, let alone close to 33. You know, it's not a hard pill, but I've always been the type of person, I feel like people need to know whatever you get yourself into, you have that innate ability to get yourself out of it. Everything that you need is already within you. It's just that you have to tap in and you have to stick to it and you can't give up. So my mindset, how you was asking what was my psychological, was just like a better day gonna come. And even on rainy days, my worst days, I used to be like, Shay, it's gonna happen.
You just held on to that.
Yep, I just held on to it. And I put the work in and I used to, every day I got up, I jogged 3 miles. And when I jogged 3 miles in the morning, I say the prison doors are opening for me. Every morning I said it. And it was days that it was super cloudy. And it was times that I would cry myself to sleep at night. Nobody seen me cry myself to sleep. Like when my son graduated or when he made it to the championship, they played in the dome and I had to see it on TV. Times like that. But I still tell myself, Shay, a better day is coming. It's coming. The prison door's going to open. And I planned and set out and did everything that I said I was going to do when I got ready to get here and my feet touched the ground. I was prepared because I believed that I was coming home. Yeah. People used to be like, oh, you're crazy. Oh, she's crazy. Oh, that's the girl that says she's going home. Because every year they'd be like, oh, what's your day? I'd be like, this year, I'm going home this year. And that year come and I'll still be there. They're like, I thought you was going home. I am. I'm going home this year. You know, and people just thought I was crazy, but delusion, right? My tagline is, it's always delusion until they see it happen.
Right.
So so part of being delusional is being a leader, being okay to be by yourself.
To be different, yeah.
To be over here, to be over there with Scream at, and we over here and we laughing at Scream. Scream got to be okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with people calling me delusional because I know what's going to happen. In the end, when you see the end result, you're going to say, I knew you could do it. Oh, No, you didn't. Now you want to come around because you see, but I'm okay. I'm okay with playing by myself. I'm okay with being the outsider. I'm okay with looking crazy to people. I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
because I know the table's going to turn.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
answers. About what? When I get big fat. Big fat, big fat.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we saw you was recently. You pulled up to Banks, linking us, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about, you know, the jail system, felons trying to get back on track, living their life, as it pertains to politics? You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's one of the things y'all was there to discuss. Like, how do you feel about it, and how can we maybe make that better?
For one, after that night, I ain't even tell you. I'm gonna end up running. I'm gonna really get involved in politics. I just gotta figure out, you know, with me having a record, do I have to have a part? I just gotta figure out that aspect. There has to be people in place who actually care.
They care, right?
You know, people on the outside looking in feel like everybody that's in prison deserve to be there, and they don't deserve a second chance. Mm. But it's not until you go or one of your family members go, and it's up close and personal for you. Right. There's a lot of broken parts of the criminal justice system, not only the time, but even down to the prison system and how it was ran. You get what I'm saying? How mostly the prisoners take over and run the prison. The sexual assaults, the way that, like, when I first came in, they allowed men to pat us down. When I first came to prison, it ended up changing when they created, like, what's called PREA. It ended up changing. But just stuff like that, you know what I mean? And I'm not a person that's against gay people or anything like that, but I feel like a known gay woman should not be able to strip search me. She like what I got. Why is she able to strip search me?
Yeah. So,
you know, especially when it's like you're known, you're open, you're married to a woman, and you're masculine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not right.
I had to fight for that in prison. They called me a Marty, but I did not mind. It was many times that I was put in the hole. But I felt like when I was in that place, I had to stand up. Even if nobody else was going to be, I'll be the sacrificial lamb. And that's how I feel now about, especially that night after being there in City Hall and after these laws that I'm paying attention that are passing. It has to be people in place. We have to start to break the system down piece by piece by piece, because no one wants to see it go away because it's for profit. You know what I mean? They don't want to see it go away. As much as America say that they want to stop mass incarceration, they are doing absolutely nothing to stop it. The Biden administration act like they was going to do so much for people who's in prison for marijuana. Marijuana is legal. Why are y'all still allowing people to be in prison with life sentences?
Right.
But these are the things that people really don't know if it does not directly affect you.
Right.
Yeah, but I think a lot of things that people don't understand, especially when it comes to prisons outside the federal level, on the state level, is that most of the prisons are privatized. And with the private prisons as opposed to state-run prisons basically get to do whatever the fuck they want to do, and they don't have a system of checks and balances. They don't have anybody that they have to answer to but their board, which are people that are benefiting from the people being incarcerated. So it's like, it's not going to benefit anybody for it to be a less amount of people locked up, except for the people that are locked up, because everybody else is profiting from it.
They're profiting from it. And how you say it's not governed, like, there's a lot of sexual assaults that go on against women in state prison. Federal prison, they make it seem like it's sexual assault, but girls in federal prison don't get raped. Girls in federal prison go because that's what they choose to do, but it's still considered rape because you're an officer and we're under you, and you don't supposed to, you know, you don't
co-mingle.
Supposed to sleep. Yeah, you don't supposed to sleep with them. But it's just that prison, y'all, is just like a different world. You get what I'm saying? It's a world within itself, is what I called it. When I first got to prison, I did not understand the lay of the land. I really couldn't even get with the lay of the land because I had never been in no trouble. And once I begin to learn, it's just like how there's politics out here. It's prison politics too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
And you just have to learn the lay of the land. But yeah, the system does need to be broke down.
And then you also had a program that you started called Felons Rock while you were in there, right?
I started it inside, wrote it out inside. Everything that I'm doing now, it was birthed from while I was inside. But yeah, Felons Rock, and I did that because felons have such a stigma, and a lot of people are embarrassed that they've been in trouble before and that they're a felon. Me, I don't care. You know what I mean? And I feel like, once again, I have to be the voice for those who have been in trouble to know, like, that's not the end all be all. That's just a chapter that you went through. It's not your entire life. Life still goes on. And America has to become more acceptable to those, because at the end of the day, we're coming home one day. Mm-hmm. We're going to be your neighbor. So you might as well try to find programs and jobs and everything to help people to reintegrate into society.
Right.
So what office are you going to run for?
I think I need to start just at counseling first. And then work my way up. But ultimately, I wouldn't mind being in the Senate.
How'd I go for with convicted felon, though? How'd that go?
That's what I gotta research it. I gotta research it. But really, Bank, I'm believing that I'm gonna end up getting a pardon. You know what I mean? I believe I end up getting one. I just gotta keep working. This month? Was it this month? Yeah. I just received the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. And it was for my name is at forever the same way it's engraved with that 12118017. It's now engraved as Lifetime Achievement Award from the president for my volunteer service that I do, you know, with kids and going back into the prisons and talking and everything. So I believe one day I have a pardon. I get that pardon, I'll be able to get in the Senate.
Who give out pardon?
Just the president. Okay. Yeah. Well, for state, the governor can pardon you, but when it's federal, the president has to pardon you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nah, you're going to get that. I vote for you.
You would?
100%.
I want to help with the campaign.
Everything.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say.
Mm. 1,000,000%.
Yeah, because I can tell you run shit. I want to smoke my blunt right now, but.
You said she can make a change.
I'll bullshit aside, though. Your energy every time.
That's $10, but go ahead.
Bullshit a customer?
That's
11. No, he's at like a dub 30 Jada right now.
Said a lot of stuff.
She is. Yeah, Jada about five. Jada said,
nigga.
You can say nigga.
I say nigga?
You can say nigga.
Yeah, you did say. Yeah,
I did not say nigga, because I've been catching myself when I've been saying stuff.
Right. You at $15.
Am I at zero? Huh? Zero, right?
Yes, girl, you're doing good. You break it free.
It's fine. We can get this nigga a discount. I mean, we can get this dude a discount. I ain't tripping. Okay.
I ain't tripping about the 15.
You ain't tripping about the 15? Well,
that's a good number, though. I can do $100 worth of this shit, nigga.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, baller.
Baller, no big facts.
But I think you really dope, though, for real. Like, thank you. Just your whole aura, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to get back to the BS.
Okay.
How you feel about rats and just all around, like, rats?
Hold on, let me pull this up so we can hear you good. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about them.
I feel like Jay, what did you just do? Sabotage somebody? That's God saying he don't want me say nothing too crazy.
Well, don't say nothing crazy.
I feel like
one word.
Because you can speak on it. One word. Just you've been
one
told
word.
On. Like,
easy way out. One word.
One word about a rat.
Take your time, honey.
Yeah, one word about a rat. Sacrificed. You need to be sacrificed.
You need to be yakety yak.
I let you say that.
All right, one word about love.
One word about love. Pure.
Has to be pure.
I thought you were going to use the same sacrifice.
No, I say love has to be pure, and it's work.
Sure.
Yeah, it's work, especially with me coming back home and not being with somebody like that for 14 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just on the internet level. Just shut up. But you know, it just it takes some work, and I'm kind of overbearing too. You know, I could be overbearing at times. And there's times that I could think that I'm a dude and want to hop out of my place. You get what I'm saying?
So you got to have a nigga that can balance that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that understands, like, there's no harm intended with the overbearingness. It's just a part of you as a person.
Yeah.
And you're working on that part. And it's a process. But, you know, you still got to, you know, tug and pull and shit and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
20.
Five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all jump on 100. Me from 5 to 20.
About 100. So round it up.
I don't. What it's you cool, feel bro. About love? It ain't no pressure on this shit. It's like cool. Love. I'll pay 1,000.
I feel like love.
Yeah.
Make her 100 a cuss word. Go ahead.
Now, Hunter, I promise you I'll turn into a different person. Hunter the word, I'll be different. But what I feel about love, I feel like you say, is in relationships, it's definitely work.
Yeah.
Because we all different. Like you just said, overbearing. I tell you, my wife is overbearing. Like she.
How long y'all been married?
22 years.
Forever.
Y'all been together how long, though?
30.
Chante, I salute her. Mm-hmm. I salute
you. Crazy.
For sure.
Salute me too, though.
No, I can't salute you.
You got to.
You know why? Because I already know, Bank, like you, black.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So it takes a certain amount of woman to be able to deal with that side.
But y'all.
And to stay down.
She just through the years. Like that.
No.
Some women just look. Some women, like, that's my OG.
Mm-hmm.
Real shit. Like, a lot of shit. I'm just being real.
That's $10 more, but go ahead.
A lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
that I did and was behind her. Not like her actions. I'm just saying,
no, I'm
like,
talking about
I use her mindset.
I'm talking about the infidelity.
What infidelity?
Boy, knock it off.
You got me mixed up.
Media train.
You got me mixed up. I ain't never been caught up.
No.
I'm just saying, anything that I've ever done, I told her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask her when I see her.
Ask her. You want to call her? Call her right now while she's in the room. She'll pick up. Yeah.
What's up?
And anything you've ever done, you told on yourself.
Yes. I ain't never just got
give nobody a chance no to black man. No, I ain't say no kids and nothing like that.
I'm just saying, I ain't really. I met you on 15. You know I'm going to want some more pussy. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
Men like we, huh? Pussy's not a customer.
Bitch, we at 50. Y'all be goddamn.
B-I-T-C-H.
All right, bro.
We working on it, y'all.
Hold my hand.
Love is forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You have to be able to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't forgive, you just might well leave people alone, man. Because things that, like how women look at infidelity as the worst thing ever, men look at that mouth as the worst thing ever.
Mm.
Bible say a nagging woman is like a draining faucet that never stops. Yeah,
we talked about this too.
We rebirth our relationship.
That's good.
Yeah, we newlyweds again. So,
but I can say though, you know, like all jokes aside, I think it's dope the transition you made.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For sure, let's
give
a round of applause to my dog for that.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
No, I mean,
it's hard. Though.
Yeah, I can imagine that it's hard, but you really came a long way.
Yeah.
You know? And it takes discipline.
Yeah.
And it takes being able to want to be the change too. So that's big.
Now I get inspired by people like you.
You do.
Real shit. Cause it's possible. Like just my peers, like the Gucci Mane or somebody like that. Like mm-hmm. I get inspired by that, knowing like, oh, it can happen. You get what I'm saying? We didn't see that happen.
Right.
You're going to go out bad, right?
Right.
Mm.
But it can happen. You know, at first it was just, I don't know, God good.
Like you said, he's super good. He's super good.
It's a struggle, though, every day.
You know, I think the biggest thing is you happy, though.
Oh, completely.
I'm happy to see you happy. Completely. You're always a happy person.
Yeah.
No, real. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't have a bad day.
It's different when you don't have them demons on your back.
Yeah.
It's totally different when you don't have them demons on your back. Mm-hmm. When them demons on your back and you trying to get up and go throughout every day, you got to worry about police, grimy dudes,
mm-hmm.
people want your spot. It's just so much. Then your family want everything. You got to take care of everybody because they always got their hands out. Man, it'd be a lot. So to be able to get up now and just figure out how I'm going to get another sponsor. When the walk gonna be? That's light work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Bob always get on. Yeah, I like sometime when I get ready to panic about something, Bob had to remind. He be like, "Man, you did 14 years. I know you ain't finna cry over this." You know what I mean? But he had to pull me back in. He had to pull me back in.
Nah, for real.
Yeah.
That's the real deal. That's the real deal. It's hard.
Life's better on this side, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life's better.
I'm going to tell you how I knew. I don't know if I'm going to have to edit this out or not, but when I started forgetting my scrap, like, I have to turn around, man, I forgot my scrap. Like, my life done changed. Like, how the hell I forget that? But that should be the first thing before I even do anything.
That part ain't left for you. Lee, you got your gun?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but I'm saying, like, you leave the house and damn near I forgot. I got to turn around and get my shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that shit was crazy.
Yeah, but that just shows you, too.
Stop recording, man. Stop. Take. I'm just going to pay $50. I'm done. $50 for the day. That's the max out.
I thought she said you go to 100.
No, she just keep pointing at me like, that's another one. Bruh, I'm just going to cash out you.
Yeah, you can take the 50, though, and donate it to, like, one of the kids. I got a little boy that sell lemonade that's on probation and trying to change his life around that I met through.
I'm a match his 50 for the nigga. I mean, for the little dude.
Okay. Come on, man.
I'm in on it too, even though I ain't cursed.
Street or whatever. But. So, yeah, we could just donate. The cuss money could get donated to him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, nah, that's dope. I think that's really, really dope. And we
if we donate to the kids, then fuck this motherfucking shit. Let's run this shit up for the babies.
No, but being the example, that's, you know. It feels good now that people could look and say, oh, she did it or he did it, mm-hmm. and have something to look up to admire or to have a mark. You get what I'm saying? Like, okay, you know, because who would ever thought?
Right.
Yeah, who would ever thought?
Right.
If you knew then what you know now, how would you have moved different? Would you have moved with less people? Would you have read people a different way? Would you have just never maybe even gotten in the streets? Like, how would that change if you knew then what you know now?
I would have read people better. Mm. I still would have got in the streets. Mm. Yeah, I can't lie now. I ain't gonna tell no lie. I still would have got in the streets, but I would have read people. And I also would have, see, my problem was too, is that I told y'all, if you tell me the edge right there, I still gotta go see for myself. Mm-hmm. So I was warned through like dreams. My father called me one morning and told me like, God said, you too high and mighty. He got to bring you down. And I was like, oh, daddy, get off my phone with that early in the morning. I don't want to hear that. But it was the warnings. Mm. And then I started to see people all around me get indicted. You know what I mean? The first indictment came 2005, then 2006. I still would not stop. Mm. I still kept going. The fire hot. I'm still touching the fire. So, too, I would have paid attention to the warnings because I don't feel like I would have ended up in prison if I had to just stop right then and there. I don't feel like
when
I
you got up. Like a couple of the first warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think prison may have saved your life though? Something worse may
definitely.
Have.
I wouldn't be sitting here with y'all. There's no doubt in my mind. I would be dead because for a woman, it's different hustling.
Yeah.
When it's a man,
overly.
You get
overly.
What I'm saying? I did not date dudes here in Atlanta. Because I felt like they was just trying to get next to me to get see who the connect was or to either rob me. You get what I'm saying? Rob or kill. So being in that type of game to that extent that I wasn't, you know.
You wasn't no little niggling down type of bitch.
I
like,
wasn't no mule. I didn't mule and I wasn't riding off my dude stuff. I am the dude.
Brazil.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
He's so low now. He's so low now. He always gotta go over the top. So low now. No. But I'm saying
fuck Pablo, you were Penelope.
But I really was, like, doing my thing. You get what I'm saying? So I do feel like there's times that I could have been taken out. I do feel like I would have been dead. So, yeah, I do feel like prison did save my life, and it was my wake-up call to get back on what my true mission in life is and what my true destiny is. My destiny, I'm a person that naturally draws people to me, just naturally. You know, but I used it for the wrong way. It was easy for me to have a connect or easy for me to run with this dude or that dude because they know all Shay want to do is get money. Mm-hmm. She ain't bringing no nothing, no shadiness whatsoever to it. So it was easy, but I was using it for the wrong way when really I should be motivating people and inspiring people. That's my calling, to walk into my destiny, to help people to be free, to break free from mindsets, generational curses, everything to uplift and not to tear down.
What you think the biggest change is from like the city of Atlanta from when you went in and got out? Like, what you saw different, and what you see different today? Like the biggest one.
I feel like the generation has changed. That's what I feel. I really feel like you have to think about it. Back then, yes, there was shooting and killing, but it wasn't, Atlanta wasn't
known. It wasn't a sport.
Yeah, Atlanta wasn't known for 12 and 13 year olds killing each other. And they definitely, 12 and 13 year olds wasn't having switches back then. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's the biggest, besides the landscape, you know what I mean? That's the biggest change that I've seen. I feel like the generation is just totally different. Mm. Totally different.
How long it took you to write the book?
I wrote the book while I was in prison.
That mine right now?
You know what? I ain't even gonna lie to you. You're gonna have to get it off Amazon. No lie. Because look, baby, let me tell you, I ain't had no more books. Look who book this is.
Oh, yeah. That's hard. That's hard. When you run up on it, are you getting it to her?
No, I had sent it to her. And it came back unreturned to sender. And this was 2023. It's to Oprah. I want this book to be part of Oprah Book Club, right? Mm. So I sent it. No, the address say undeliverable. So I got to try to find another address.
I'm going
to
help you with that.
Thank you. But I wanted to be part of Book Club, but I had to bring one today for y'all to see, for y'all to put up. But that's Oprah's. I don't know how I'm going to get it to her.
I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
I'm going on Amazon to buy my own book.
Brandy, thank you. You posted.
What about five of them?
No. Y'all, I want to hold him to this because he was just on my podcast maybe about a month ago, and he told me he was getting a book then, and I see you still don't have the book.
Let me take a picture of it right now.
Let's call it Ace of Spades. And remember you said five. Let's don't leave that part out either.
Hold up. Order.
But yeah, so I wrote the book while I was in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just said that when I came home, I was going to publish it. That's what I did. They said they need answers. About what? Will I get
big fat? Big fat, big fat. I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you ever spend any time or a lot of time in the hole?
Yes.
Yeah.
I spent 17 months in the hole one time.
17 months.
I went in and... October 2009, I came out February 2011. I was light-skinned from not having no sunlight.
No sun? Nope. 17 months?
17 months.
How did you, because I would lose it. So how did you mentally keep it? I would lose it. How did you keep it together?
You wouldn't lose it. That's what you heard me like a couple minutes ago say. Everything that you need is already within you to get through whatever situation it is.
I got you.
Right? So... the reason why I was in there is because the government was playing games. Mm-hmm. So they was trying to make my homeboys and them next door, right? They had just got them. They came after me. Some of the other dudes came after me. Mm-hmm. So they were saying I was back on the writ, that she's next door. If y'all don't take a plea, she gonna testify against y'all. But they was lying. So they was trying to use me as an intimidation factor for them not to go to trial. You know, but I had been in prison probably like two and a half years. So by then I had guards under, you know, in my hand, like, no, take this letter over next door, you know, to them or whatever. But I ended up doing the 17 months in there, and it wasn't easy. And it was days I used to, because, you know, in that little 9x12, mm-hmm. it's just a bed. The sink is connected to the toilet, right? And the toilet is just... the bed and the toilet is like that. Where your foot is mm-hmm. to the bed is like that. And sometimes I would look at that toilet, laying in that bed, and be like, for real, Lord, this is what my life then came to? Mm. I'm like, this can't be what my life then came to. Like, yes, I did do wrong, but come on now. I know this ain't what we're doing. But in that time, I started to write the book while I was in the hole. I wrote started writing the book while I was in there. You just have to find another way to redirect your energy, to redirect your thoughts. And if you can do that, you can get through anything.
Yes, yes.
You're right. You can get through anything. No, it's just about redirecting. That's all.
That's real, because you got to think, just when you ask that question, I was just thinking, like, a lot of stuff that I said, like, I just doubted for no reason, ended up being, like, the best thing for me. Mm. Like, you remember how we'd be like, bro, I can't stop eating chicken. I just got to have me some sandwich. You know what I'm saying? As soon as I go vegan, it's the best thing for me. Like, I feel good. I'm calmer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just like, we doubts, and they probably be off topic, but the stuff we doubt, it be blessings inside of this shit.
Yeah, you just have to push your way through.
Get out of comfort zone.
And I'm a firm believer, anything, and it was people who was around me. You know what I mean? A girl committed suicide in the hole, you know what I mean, back there. And then they had made it where you had to have a bunkie, where it had to be two of y'all in the room together, because they felt like if another person is in there, then it could help you know, help the other person. But it, I wasn't on psych meds or none of that. You know, I always tell people God just wired me different. I'm just wired different. Yeah.
What you do for fun? Do you know how to cook? Do you have a hobby that would be like not
cooking
expected?
Is definitely not for fun. Let's just get
cooking
that
can
out.
Be fun.
I like cooking though.
That's true.
I like cooking. That's fun.
It's a release.
I
yeah.
I like standing on my feet. My ankle's really? Starting to hurt. Yeah. I do it. You know what I mean? But for fun, I right now, Screen, I'm really just trying to build my brand.
You on so journey and purpose.
Yeah, I'm on a journey. You know, I've been home 2.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, there is no 401k for me. Mm-hmm. There is no Social Security for me. All that's out the window because I was gone. Mm-hmm. So now I have to build now where my grandkids are going to be okay. So fun for me is, for one, figuring out this podcast game. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I look at it as, that's another way. To me, I'm looking at it as the dope game. You know what I mean? And it's just about learning it, learning the land of it and the layout of it and figuring out like the sponsorship and stuff. So that's my fun right now. Building a brand.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's my fun right now. But I like the shop screen. That's what I
okay.
Like.
Keep it real. That's what I'm saying.
What rattle your cage though? Like, what rattle you? Like you just saying, like he was like, when like Bob was just saying, I know you ain't finna bitch up now. Like, what's wrong?
What rattle me is when things don't go my way. I'm spoiled when it don't go my way.
What makes your anxiety go up?
Fake, phony dudes. Fake, phony people. That's what makes my anxiety go up.
They I feel got like my
middle. I feel like just stay from around me. You get what I'm saying?
Right,
just stay from around me.
And I would be here from the 16th through the 19th.
Oh, did you?
All five of them. Order place. Thanks.
No, you ordered audio.
No, I didn't. These are books.
Okay. Let me see. Let me go back, y'all. Okay.
Yeah. Order five audio?
Order five of these now and send. Okay, 30 each.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
High-ass book.
It's a hardback. You see that cover? You see that cover? And I want you to know when you take the sleeve off, it's still. And we're going to do it.
That costs money. Yeah. Like,
it looked like it's supposed to be there.
Yeah. I self-published too. Yeah, I self-published and I just put it on Amazon this year. The first year I didn't put it on Amazon because.
Why?
I don't believe in the middleman. You can't middleman.
Yeah.
And they wanted 40%. And I'm like, why am I going to get them 40% when I sat in the hole and wrote this book?
You can't turn any folk book game to the dope game, though. You can't. You want to be the plug, Brazil.
Wait till I learn this podcast game out. I'm telling you,
man. You got it, though.
Wait till I learn it. You're going to be calling me. Like, yo, Shay, man, stop playing with me, man. How did you do that?
Nah, for real.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What do you enjoy about the podcast game?
I enjoy, I like talking to people. Yeah. I'm a talker. You know, I like talking to people. One of my friends used to be like, you talk so much, you make folks hate you. You know what I mean? But I feel like the podcast game.
If they going to hate you because you were talking, they were hating anyway.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I say the podcast game, I like talking to people, and I like that it has really created another avenue for African-American young people to get money.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? It's just about we have to really learn it, how they've learned it, and how they've mastermind it on the other side. You know, the Joe Rogans and stuff. We just got to, you know, really get in there. But I feel like...
And support each other, stick together, too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and support one another. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Your lane ain't my lane, and my lane ain't y'all lane. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Everybody had their own lane, and if people can look at it like that, then we can be so much further ahead. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody want to be a gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a gatekeeper is. Don't want to tell you to do this.
Where to get your mic from.
What
lights to use. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All that kind of shit.
Because they feel like it's going to hinder them. Baby, you hindering you.
Exactly.
Yeah, you hindering you by not wanting to bless other people.
There you go.
So that's what I like about it, though.
Mm. You know, so our podcast, thankfully, does reach people in prisons that's currently serving time. So if somebody's in there maybe frustrated with a broken spirit, like, may not believe they're going to see the daylight again. Like, what would you say to that person that's watching right now?
Number one, stay out the TV room.
Mm.
Stay out the TV room.
Because, why you say that? Okay, you're about to say it.
Yeah, okay, so the TV room is just a brewing ground for fights, right? Mm-hmm. And then in the TV room, you're not, what are you feeding your spirit? You feeding yourself that stuff that's on there, right? I only watch sports and news. And still to this day, I watch sports and news. I might catch if somebody say a movie real good, or if, you know, like I'm leading, we start watching a movie or something like that, I might watch it. But I believe that while you're in there, you need to focus on everything that you can do to be better when you get out here.
Facts.
And if you're like constantly sitting in front of the tell live vision, you're not learning anything. Right. So I did
that. Oh, what you call that?
Yeah, tell live vision. Yeah, it's telling lies to your vision.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a distraction towards your vision, right?
Yeah.
So I used to allow myself, because you have to have balance. So I used to allow myself 1 hour of junk TV. And what I consider junk TV is like reality TV or something like that. So my junk TV was the Kardashians. That's what I used to watch. And I watched, You was in Superfly. I watched that. But even in watching that.
I didn't know you could say that. I just said you see me Superfly.
Yeah, but even in watching that, guess what it did? It took me back to that era where I was getting money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? It's standing on top of the table to all the girls around throwing money in the air and all that. So I would tell them, number one, stay out the television room. You get what I'm saying? Number two, focus on what you want to do. Like I used to tell myself, if prison wasn't the barrier, what would I be doing? Mm-hmm. Right? So they have to remove prison from it. And number three, I tell them to meditate. Meditation is so good. You know what I mean?
How you stop your brain, though? I tried it, but my brain won't
you
stop.
So hyper.
I'm just kidding. Like, it won't stop.
Because this is what you have to do. So when you begin meditating, right, when you first starting out and you can't get your brain to stop, start saying something over and over again.
Affirmation.
Like, I am powerful. I am powerful. I am powerful. The more you keep saying that, you can't hear your brain going. Because you constantly saying, I am powerful. I am powerful.
And the vibrations from your voice block all the rest of the shit out.
When you're not saying I am powerful out loud, you're saying it to yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're sitting there saying it to yourself over and over again. You do that. So you'll start off, it'll be like 5 minutes. Next thing you know, you'll be able to go 10 minutes. And then you'll be able to just sit in silence. One of the guards used to tell me, why is you sitting up there on the hill like a monk looking at that barbed wire fence? I told him, you see the barbed wire. I can't see the barbed wire. My mind ain't even here.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just... Meditation is good too. And last, I would tell them to stay away from the Debbie Doubters.
Right.
Stay away from, because prison is a mecca, y'all. If there was a mecca for
pies and lies.
People be all you could be in prison, and it's just negative. You got to deal with not only each other, but you got to deal with the guards who come in there, who can't run their household at home. They come in negative. Yes. They put that off on you. Yes. If something goes wrong at the top, it's going to trickle down to the bottom to us. So you got to stay away from, you know, from negative, you know, negative people.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. What's coming up for you? And let's talk about all your different endeavors. Like we got the book, five of them on the way.
One on
Mind Bank podcast.
One on mine.
I'm gonna cash out for it. I got one on mine.
They fit when they turn my hand up.
When they 50, when they. Yeah, make sure y'all get the book though. It's Pick the Palace Mentality, and it's 10 key principles to see your way through your worst situation. Mm. So, like, the first principle is accept responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I like that.
No matter what
that's
goes
the foundation.
On, yeah, you have to set responsibility. So before, when I first got in trouble, I'd be saying, oh, he told on me, she told on me. That was me just pointing the finger at them. But I had to shift and say, Shay, if you wasn't doing nothing to begin
they wouldn't
with,
have nothing to
they
tell
wouldn't
on.
Have nothing to tell.
Facts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So number one is to accept responsibility. And I give you number three is not to become bitter. You can't become, I help you for the right price.
What is it?
What you mean?
Say it on Big Fat.
Bob, what's the price for helping if a ghostwriter?
Oh, shit.
Nah, I don't care if that's your twin. You keep hollering that twin. Let me tell you something. Nah. Not when we in a contract together.
I thought you said free. Break free.
Yeah, we are free. We ain't doing things for the free.
Look, so what I do, can I just give you a voice note and you just...
No, I'll tell you even better. They have a software that you can hook to the computer. And you talking to the microphone, it's going to type for you.
That's cold.
Yeah, but I help you with the foundation of how to start. Yeah, exactly. I could do that.
Say less.
I could do that for you. Right. But Right now, I'm focused on a podcast, which is called Break Free. Mm-hmm. And free is spelled P-H-R-E-E. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't subscribed, you better.
How?
Well, YouTube.
I need to get me an account. I just said it because I want to go comment. I want to go comment beef on our page.
You got me?
I got you, okay. Right.
You got me screen?
Yeah, I got you.
I got you,
so, I'm going to get it, too. I'm saying, I'm finna get me. I'm finna create me. Because I was just looking at our comment. I want to argue back now. I'm bored.
All you need is a Gmail.
Yeah, I'm finna set up mine today.
All you need is a Gmail.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. Yeah, make sure as soon as he set it up, he subscribed to Break Free.
I am. I'm going to be in your comment.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I just started it maybe about, I think we're on the 8th episode. Mm-hmm. And it's more so a podcast geared to inspiring others to get through whatever they've been through. Mm-hmm. Not just prison, but anything. Like 1 week we had a young woman on there that has breast cancer, but she's young. You know, they tell us, don't go get a
mammogram
until you're 40. Mm-hmm. But she was under 40. You get what I'm saying? So she was on there sharing her story. And then this week right here is super dope to me. It's about molestation, right? And the traumas that it brings. Because it's not something that's spoke about. So my whole mindset is to help others to break free from different things. Just, I don't know if y'all know or not. Yeah, the inside is crowded, but it's more people out here that's in a prison than it is that those that are physically locked up.
Yeah, it is.
People walk around in a prison every day. Mm-hmm. Women, you know, I hate to see how women will settle just because a dude got money. And I ain't talking about nobody because I've been there. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? I've been there before I was in the streets. And even when I first came home, I found myself settling. You get what I'm saying? Because I felt like I needed to get on my feet. Oh, I'm going to mess with this multi-million dollar nigga. Because, you know, I need to get on my feet. But it's like we will settle and take anything because a dude feel like, and I feel like if we start putting our feet down, dudes wouldn't be able to have 2, 3, and 4 women. Because we all standing for the same thing. But as long as you got something that's just going to stand for anything.
There's always going to be some hoes don't care about. They ain't going to join the crew. There's always going to be some hoes. They ain't going to stand with y'all.
They going to stand with us.
The ho go ho, baby. I'm sorry. How many that was? The ho go ho. You know that shit. They not standing with that.
Yeah, but
if we can successfully make the hoes the minority.
Yeah. But you know that's what I'm just focused on. Just getting a podcast out there, learning the game, learning the business side of it. Because you can record all day, but if you don't learn the business side, well, y'all know because y'all already been through it. Y'all already up. You get what I'm saying? So yeah, just trying to get to that next level in the podcast game and get more speaking engagements and release the second book. I'm going to release a daily devotion, 365 days of breaking free.
Would you do like a documentary or movie about your
history? I would love to.
Yeah?
Yeah. My ultimate dream is I want Tyler Perry to do my story.
Okay.
Or however God see fit. You know what I mean? If it had to be a short story on Amazon or whatever it had to be. I do know that my life is a story.
Mm. Yeah. Nah, I think you really dope.
How many times you gonna tell me? Tell me again.
I think you really do.
No, I think you're fucking amazing, dog. Like,
we got this thing called Big Facts Friday where we just have just open discussion. I'm gonna bring you on there a couple times.
You
just be.
You
a,
just told me. Wait, I gotta do perspective. See what I'm saying? Now let me tell y'all one thing about him. Man, Taz and Jamisha and they done wrote me in with him, and now he just think I'm just his personal. I'm gonna pull you along everywhere.
You got new perspectives. Big Fat Friday.
Let me see some. Hold up.
I was supposed to do.
You gotta go to the shit show.
Yeah.
You gotta go to the hike.
The hike. I told him he interfering with my God. I go to church on Sundays. Look, I ain't coming to the hike.
Oh, read that part right now.
Where? This is how you
get that. Nah, this right.
I want to get Shay on.
Linking us. She said, I said, free. She said, she can do this panel interview. Yeah, y'all can do it together. Really, all of them. I said, let's see how the first one go first. I got to get a degree first.
See what I'm saying? But, yeah. I mean,
I feel like you should be everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm just keeping it real because it ain't that many of us that's chosen.
Yeah.
I agree.
So you should be everywhere because you are an example that you can be you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know that they can be them.
And still make it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's some G shit.
Yeah. And people don't realize, man, people accept you more when you're able to stand in your truth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you able to be you, one night I had went Ashana Ayers, that's over the Ayers agency. Yeah.
So that's my girl.
Ashana's super dope.
Yeah.
She had me to go with her to, she had an event for the Netflix movie, Rustin, right? And so at the dinner, it was like a question under your table. So I could have easily got intimidated or something because I'm just coming home. I'm in a room with movie execs and stuff like that. But I'm like, no. So when they called on me, like, how do I own my power? I stood up and own my power and let them know, yeah, I am a felon. You get what I'm saying? But felon to me stands for front runner, eliminating labels, overcoming negativity. Mm. From the White House to the trap house, I'm still me. And I just feel like more people need to stand in who they are. It's okay.
Bars.
It's okay.
Bars.
Yeah.
Bars.
It's okay. What, from Trap House to White House?
Nah, bars.
Yeah.
Nah, the whole thing is just bars.
Bars. Facts.
Yeah, run that back. Big facts. Nah, real shit, man. You got to just stand in your truth, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the only thing what's fucking up the world, man. People are got on too many masses. You give me a chance to accept you for who you are if you bitch be you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't deal with that. But you cool, bro. You. Mm-hmm. Every time I see you. If I see you being this way, and you be this way, then I hear another motherfucker say you this way. Who the fuck are you?
People don't have the self-esteem to be themselves. They don't have the self-esteem to be themselves. That's the problem. They're not happy with themselves, so they try to be somebody else.
Bank got to break free. My bad, Scream. Go ahead.
I was saying, people don't have the self-esteem to be themselves.
Yeah.
They don't love themselves. That's the problem.
But I feel like if it's... The more of us, right, that can stand out and be ourselves, and the more that they see people that look like them...
It becomes cool.
It mm-hmm. becomes cool. Mm-hmm. It becomes the thing to be. Because, like, we went back a couple... Snitching wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Right? Everything has a phase. Mm-hmm. The Bible says to everything...
So when is this phase going to be over where the shit is cool?
Yeah, I'm ready for it to be over.
Bruh.
I'm ready for it to be over, too, because another thing about telling on somebody else... You're not just telling on that person. You're telling on his whole family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? You're not thinking about the children, the mom, the dad, the parent. You know what I mean? Like, that was I think the worst thing for me was seeing how bad I hurt my parents.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was hard for me. To turn around, y'all, no lie, that week of trial, my mom, I turned around. My mom was like a size 14 when I first got in trouble. In a week, she went down to like a size 8.
Mm.
And my dad is like naturally dark skinned like I am. And I turned around and looked at him one day in the courtroom. All of this was red. You get what I'm saying? So it was just, and then my parents was already kind of up in age. You know what I mean? And the prosecutor was so nasty. Like, oh, your parents are going to be dead when you get out of prison. Trying to get me to tell. And I was like, oh, you probably will be too. Because I couldn't let it stick to me.
Shit.
You know what I mean? If I had to let that stick to me, then it's like, oh, I probably do need to cooperate with them because I want to see my parents alive. You get what I'm saying? But I just counteracted, you know? So it's just people need to realize just standing who you are. And if you know you can't do no time, don't do the crime.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Simple.
And don't be caught up with people. I'm not getting in the car with nobody that I feel like still got something going on in the streets because I'm putting myself in harm's way.
Yeah,
I'm not going to put nobody in a position to tell on me.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I don't even want to see your business. I don't even want to see that, like, nigga, to my pull up on, pull up the spots. I'm not doing none of that because anything can happen, brother.
Yeah, anything.
Anything can happen. Right. I don't want to be nowhere around what you do. I don't have nothing to do with that. Do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to you. I'm going to pray for you. I cannot.
Yeah.
I can't. How?
Yeah. I don't even really hang out like I used to. You know what I mean? Like if it's one of my friends' birthday or something like that, I'll come out. But I don't really go out like that. I'll go to like events.
Mm-hmm.
But to just be in the club how I used to be in the club, I ain't making no money. Right. No sense in me being there. I've done it. I feel like I was alive in that era where we'll never see that era again.
Ever.
We'll never see that era again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've done it. I'm just not putting myself in a position. I'd rather do things like I do now, like LinkedIn, stuff like that. I'd rather do stuff like that.
How you finesse your way up on a doctorate, though? Like,
I'm smart.
Oh.
See, one thing you got to know about her.
How can I get one?
Let me tell you something.
How can I get one?
Let me tell you something, man.
Yeah.
I got book smarts.
Yeah.
I got street smarts. And I got common sense. Right. So now, but I was I got nominated for it. And then once they nominate you for it, like I probably could nominate you. Right. But then you still got to do the legwork.
OK.
Yeah. And then so you do the legwork, like the paper, the interview, it's like two interviews or whatever. And then you have to just like write out the things that you've been doing. You know what I mean? What you do community stuff.
And you nominated by, man. I don't need it. I'm a doctor bank. That hard. This nigga a doctor now?
You had to use
it. Like, this nigga changed all the way. This nigga a doctor.
I would start calling him Mr. Go Too Far. Man, he gonna always take it far.
Bruh, so I can't be no doctor.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, of course you could. Yeah.
I was just docking Zaytoven moving.
Oh, you was?
Yeah, my name was Doc. Man, it's time to be Doc. It's Jones.
Put that on the list, too.
Stay on nominated.
Put that on the list, too.
Yeah, I told him. I told Bob that day. I said, how you like the sound of it? Dr. Angela C. Wright. Dr. Angela C. Wright. Yeah.
That is dope.
Yeah.
That's
big. I told him, like, them guards, like, one of them had, this girl had reached out to me and said she seen a guard in a restaurant, like, inbox me, like, free, such and such said hi. I said, yeah, tell them. I told them I wouldn't see them again, but they'll see me again.
Do you keep in touch with like any people you were locked up with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And still down and out.
Yeah, still down there. Except my two closest, my tightest circle is girls that I met when I was in prison.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just a different type of bond.
Yeah.
When you meet somebody in prison. Now don't get me wrong. It's a bunch of con artists and stuff.
It's a bunch
there.
Of bullshit.
Yeah, but it really is some good, genuine people. And I was blessed to get around some really good people. So, yeah. And then I still have one of my homegirls. She's still in there, Max. We call her Max or whatever. The one JT rapped about when she said, the only way I'm going back to Tally is to holler at Max. Mm. She's still in there. So I hold her down. Yeah, I hold her down, talk to her. And then J-Bo, you know, I told Jay, he calling at 3. I told him I should be done by 3:30 today. But yeah, I know what it's like to be in there. And sometimes I do fall short. You know what I mean? Like their email, and I don't email right back, and I have to tell myself, Shay, you was there. You know that feeling, you know, to do better. Yeah. People, if y'all have anybody incarcerated.
Yes, man.
Don't leave them for dead, man. They coming home one day. Yeah, they coming home. And that's the thing I say now. See, babe, when I get back on top, right? I already know I ain't gonna have to worry about who I gotta take care of and looking out for you because it's gonna be a prerequisite. Mm-hmm. Was you on that visitation list? Mm. Did you do anything for my son while I was gone? Mm. Did you even try to check on my mother? The answer to no to any one of those questions, we ain't got nothing to talk about. I don't owe you nothing.
Facts.
Right. Yeah.
Facts. We appreciate you pulling up to the Big Facts podcast. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the game, dropping gems. Make sure you check us out at www.bigfactspod.com.
Break, break.
Subscribe, like, comment to the Big Facts Network. Salute.
Yes.
Right now. Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hills and Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom, and you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.